The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth that comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
One of the stories that we learned in Bible history back in Catholic grade school was the story of Moses leading his people out of Egypt and into the desert. And we hear in those stories that the Hebrew people that were following Moses were a stiff-necked people. They didn't exactly get that God had just done such a marvelous thing for them by releasing them from the captivity of the Pharaoh and their slavery there and bringing them towards at least a promised land, a place where they could be free. Well, along the way, they had a hard time because, not appreciating the great gift that God had given them, they ended up complaining a lot. Whining a lot. They were never, ever, ever satisfied. The sacrifices seemed just too great for them, and that's why they end up being called so often stiff-necked people, hard-hearted people. And what did they complain about? I mean, they just had left the slavery of Egypt. They got through the Red Sea. They had all of that stuff going for them. They get out in the desert, and oh, we don't have enough food. So, you know, we're hungry, and we would be better off back in Egypt where we had food. So Moses goes to God and says, "My people are complaining. They're stiff-necked people. They're hard-hearted. They're complaining they don't have enough food. Can you do something about that, Lord?" So the Lord said, "Sure, I can do something about that." So he sends the manna coming down from heaven. Yeah, from heaven. It's a miracle. Every morning it's there waiting for them. But guess what? They don't like the manna from heaven. "Oh, I don't like this. It's like a little kid with his green peas or something. I don't like these." So they complain and whine, and they feel sorry for themselves, and they get upset with Moses for leading them out into the desert. And even though they've got the food they need to eat, pretty soon they're complaining again. "Oh, we're thirsty. We don't have enough water. We're getting thirsty." So Moses says, "Okay," goes back to the Lord and says, "Lord, they say they're thirsty, they don't have enough water. What do you think?" The Lord says to Moses, "Strike a rock in Meribah once and water will come flowing out and they'll have enough water. Because I love these people, even though they're whiny and cranky and stiff-necked." So Moses strikes the rock with his staff, and sure enough, water comes pouring out of the rock, and they have all the water they need to get through the desert, and it's all good. Except, we don't like this water. It doesn't taste good. It has too many minerals in it. Can't we get some Dasani here? Or something like that? And by this time, Moses is kind of fed up with their whining and all of that stuff. And, you know, even though they've got water, you know, they're still not done whining and crying and feeling sorry for themselves. So anyway, what's the next thing? Next thing is they probably stumble accidentally into an area of the desert where there's lots of snakes. And this indeed is a problem, because the snakes bite and they poison people. Some people die and other people get sick. You know, the way that the Old Testament tells the story is that, you know, God, you know, sent them, the snakes, to punish them for all their whining and stuff. But whatever, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, they get sick and they whine, we're sick. And we've got these snakes and they're biting our ankles and we're not happy anymore. Why can't we just go back to Egypt where everything was nice? Well, this time Moses goes to God and says, Lord, my people are complaining again because of the snakes and the snake bites and stuff. Can't you do something about it? And the Lord says, yes, I can do something about it. So what the Lord says is, I want you to make Moses a snake out of copper or bronze or whatever you got available, and make that snake, and then put him on your staff and raise him up, lift him up, and put him in the desert there, and anyone who looks on that snake will be healed. And Moses says, okay, I can do that. So he does that, and sure enough, the people are healed. And the story is so important for the people that for the next hundreds of years, they use that sign of the snake on the pole lifted up in the desert as a sign of God's care for them and of his healing grace for them. And it becomes a beautiful symbol, which we still use today. You still find it on doctors' offices everywhere. The snake wrapped around the staff, and a symbol of God's healing grace for his beloved people. Well, it's a long story, I suppose, but it lets us understand that when Jesus says in today's gospel, from the passage we just heard from Gospel of John, that he, like the snake lifted up in the desert, he too will be lifted up, and he too will be a source of healing for his people. Jesus takes the image of that snake in the desert for his own grumbling, complaining, whining, unbelieving people. And he says, you know, you've been wanting Messiah all these centuries, and now you have one. You've been wanting to know God is near you and cares for you all these centuries, and now you have it. But you continue whining and complaining that you don't have a Messiah, and that the Romans are too mean to us, and we're captives again, and we'll never know freedom again, and blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm the new serpent raised up in the desert. Not the serpent part, but the being lifted up part. I'm the sign and the symbol of God's healing grace for you. Look at me, behold me, and you will be healed, just like the people in the desert so many centuries ago. But you've got to look. You've got to believe. You've got to see me as I really am. And the lifting up, Jesus talks about that, and he says, you know, that word is really, really important. You know, to be lifted up, what is he talking about? He's talking about what's going to happen to him in a short while hence, further on, when he's lifted up on the cross, on a staff, sort of in a desert, outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And there people will either believe or not believe. They'll either be healed or not be healed, depending on what they see. Will they see God's healing grace made flesh Or will they just see another crazy guy pretending to be a Messiah that gets crucified by the Romans? Poor guy. Will their spirit of stiff-neckedness, their spirit of whining and complaining, poor us, will that be what they live by? Or will they say, my God, you have cared for us so much that you have given us your only begotten Son. Is that what they will see and feel when they see me lifted up on a staff in the desert, on a cross in the desert, dying, giving up my last breath for them? That word lifting up also means for Jesus, even more than his death, the lifting up is also the lifting up of him after he dies from the grave on the first day of the week. This lifting up too, which is visible to his apostles, which is touchable, feelable, in which he says to his disciples and his followers, peace be with you. This great lifting up too is a healing grace for his people. All of this is a reminder, more than a reminder, it's a powerful reminder that Jesus is this beloved Son, and that when he is lifted up both on the cross and both from the grave, he is there for us to see. He is there for us to behold. He is there for us to believe in and thus be healed. Healed interiorly, spiritually, individually, but also as a world. As a whole world. What's the secret of salvation? What does God want to do for his people, all people? He simply wants them to be healed by seeing Jesus as his beloved Son. As we walk through these days of the Lenten season, we're in our own little 40 days and 40 years of desert life. It's a time for us to check that tendency to whine and complain and feel sorry for ourselves. Most of all, it's a time for us to know that our God loves us enough to send us his Son and to lift him up both on the cross and from the grave so that we might believe and have light and see the light of life. So that we too can share in the joy of that Easter morning when Jesus says to us, peace be with you. That's the point of these 40 days, is for us to walk closer and closer and closer to Jesus lifted up in the desert, lifted up from the grave, so that we too might have life and have life in its fullness.